Und zwar haben wir heute Besuch von Kik. Kairo is coming. Und deswegen wird der Rest der Sendung jetzt erstmal auf Englisch sein. The interview is going to be in English. I'm going to say a big hello to Hussein and Azim.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
It's really nice to have you here. Now, I have to explain, you are part of a bigger artist collective. There's not just two of you, there's six of you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you maybe introduce Kik? Kairo's coming. Who are you?
Well, Kairo is coming is a group of musicians from Cairo. We all met 3 years ago.
Yeah.
We happen to be all producing not necessarily similar music, but so we happen to all have the same mindset with regards to music and sound and whatnot, and we just happened to form a collective after the second tour with
The story is actually a little bit funny, because the way this happened is that Philip was in Cairo doing some Middle Eastern studies and some espionage, and then and then he saw the Wet Robots playing at one of the local festivals, and then he asked for an interview, and then he was like, "Is anyone else you know that is doing something similar?" And so they invited me and Zuli and Nader, because Wet Robots is Hussein, Ismail, and Busaina. Mm-hmm. So there were kind of like two camps, the three of us and the three of us making music together, and then we all met. And then maybe a couple of months later, Philip sent us an email. He was like, "Do you guys want to come tour Switzerland?" We're like, "Okay." And then one of the local papers wrote, "Cairo is coming," you know. So then we were like, "Okay, why don't we use that as the name?" Like, it just happened. Okay. That kind of.
So there's actually two separate groups that then met.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but you were all making music before you met already.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe can you tell us maybe about how did you start making music? What was your introduction to making music?
Well, I started playing the guitar when I was 8, I guess, like same way like most musicians, I guess, in Cairo. Everybody started with the guitar, and then eventually I got interested a little bit in electronic music. At that time, I was friends with Ismail, and we used to just go to the studio and jam, not a specific genre, but we were just jamming with keyboards, guitars, and whatever else would happen. And then I studied music production. I came back to Cairo, and we formed a band, Ismail, Busaina, and I. And at that time, I had also started building my studio with Ismail. Okay. And that's actually about the time we met these guys.
Okay, so you actually started playing guitar, and when did you start making electronic music then?
5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. But it wasn't something like, how do you say, comprehensive. That it wasn't like one sound that you can listen to. But I had basically started dabbling with the computer and synthesizers and whatever.
Okay, so it started more like at home, just out of an interest.
Yeah.
Okay, and yourself?
Well, my beginnings are a bit shady. Yeah,
I started
when I was 14. I was a drummer in a black metal band. I'm not gonna say the name because it's kind of embarrassing. But yeah, so I played the drums, and then I met Zuli and his brother. And his brother was a much better drummer than I was, so I was like, okay, fuck this, I'm gonna start singing. And then, and then we formed a band together, and then we got into like post-punk, and then we just got into different sounds until me and Zuli started also being fascinated with like electronic possibilities and synthesizers and so forth. And then our sound started getting more electronic. Until maybe in 2009, me and Zuli formed a duo. It was kind of like 80s influenced, really reverb drenched kind of synth poppy kind of stuff. It was called Wonderful Morning. And that's actually what we played on the first tour. And then we started getting more into like dance oriented electronic music. And we've been doing something similar. Like we all have more than one project. But yeah, that's how it happened, I guess.
Okay, that's what I've read as well. Like you're coming from, say, different bands or collaboratives, and even now you're still doing different things. So it's really rare to get all of you together in one room to make music, isn't it?
Yeah, that really happens. We once did a jam, Ismail and Zuli. Like four of us once got involved in the same room with a bunch of like controllers and synthesizers, and what came out was this 4-minute piece of just like really loud, like noisy stuff. Yeah, it was fun though. But yeah, I mean, between us, we always have different collaborative projects. Like Zuli and Busaina had a duo together. Ismail and Hussein have worked together with other artists from other parts of the world. Me and Zuli have a thing together. Me, Nader, and Zuli used to have a, like, the three of us had a band called Vent that was before we started the club. So it was like, yeah, we had a lot of projects going on, and they kind of, we kind of move in and out of collaborating and solo projects. So.
Process of building up, like, or you are one of the major players in building up an underground electronic music scene in Cairo. Now, can I ask you, what was the music scene like before you happened to be on the scene? Was there an electronic music scene?
Not necessarily. There were a lot of bands.
Well, Well, there kind of was. I mean, there was a club scene that peaked in the late 90s and then died out in the early 2000s and then started building up again maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
But it was mainly DJs.
The direction was mainly very club-oriented, commercial type of DJ music. But I mean, even before we existed, there was a small downtown scene that was there, but its detachment from the club environment and from the type of music space that was suitable for artists to present their work made it stay kind of small, because all of the spaces were very, very small, maybe foreign cultural funded kind of spaces. So it's right. So they didn't have the capacity or the resources to entertain a crowd that can both consume music and be entertained at the same time. So the club kind of culture didn't really exist until very recently.
Okay, and you're going to change that?
Well, we're trying. I mean, I think our dabblings in the music industry, Hussein and Ismail have their studio, Epic 101, that teaches music to young artists, and they have the recording facilities. Me and Zuli and Busaina, we run Vent, which is a kind of underground music space, I guess.
It kind of started off as an all-round arts music venue. Yeah, and then
I think we shifted towards more music in the programming, because I guess that's what we know best. And I mean, it was difficult to kind of curate a performance and visual arts program with the small team that we had. But I think starting next year, we have a lot of collaborations with other institutions and organizations that are doing things that I mean, I think they have more knowledge and more focus and more expertise in the areas that we're not really really touching on. So I think next year things are going to start coming together in a different way.
And have you had any prior experience in running a club or booking artists?
Well, me and Zuli, we have a third partner called Mohammed who lives in London. Mm-hmm. And me and him started a couple of club nights maybe starting 2011. And we did that for a year maybe, and had maybe 4 or 5 nights. It never got consistent enough to turn into something. But then, that was the only prior experience we had before Vent, I guess.
So you just jumped into the deep end? And
yeah, I guess. I mean, it was just an opportunity that presented itself. We found a space that was very suitable and that was kind of battered and run down after the post-revolution, and they weren't doing well financially, and no one was going there anymore because the type of entertainment that I provided was kind of obsolete. It was a cabaret, a belly dancing kind of oriental place.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so then we talked to the owner and he let us do what we want. We stripped it down and turned it into kind of a space for...
And you made it really nice. I read it looks really nice now.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And it's kind of a venue that holds about maybe 200, 250 people. Is that right?
The maximum we've ever crammed in there was on one of the big nights I counted was 330, but that's illegal. We shouldn't have had that many people in there.
You'd get in trouble in Berlin if you did that. But where do you get your inspiration from, how to run the club or who to book or how to do the promotions? Would you go and check out other clubs in different countries?
I mean, not really. I think the good thing about it is that me and Zuli have a very similar and kind of overlapping taste, especially when it comes to dance music, and Mohammed too, the third guy. So we basically just start sharing music. We have a thread where we share music. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? And then we start thinking, okay, I mean, sometimes our bookings are strategic sometimes, but most of the time it's just people that we like music that we enjoy.
And would it be more international artists or...
Well, there's the focus is more on developing the local scene. We have many more we probably have one or two international artists a month, and the rest of the program is dedicated to local artists.
And how does the choice of DJs or people who come and play, musicians that you book, how is that being greeted in the audience? Do they like it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess we've kind of built a little small community and following of people who want to hear new sounds. Sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult to compete with other promoters that are doing bigger names and more you know, just things that bang harder, you know, in terms of their exposure. But overall, I think, people like we've been lucky to be in, like, part of a community that supports the kind of things that we do.
Yeah. I've read that the only girl in the collective, Bozaina, is that how you pronounce her name?
Yeah.
Yes, Bozaina. She went through the Red Bull Music Academy 2 years ago. And has anything changed since then? Like, do you notice, because her name is, like, in the... it's been mentioned when you mentioned Kick or Kairos coming.
Yeah,
I have you much, noticed a change in how you're being perceived?
I'm sure it. I mean, we haven't noticed it directly. Maybe,
I think we have. I mean, I think like one of us having their name like buzzed about in that these circles of media, yeah, definitely created interest. I mean, Red Bull then commissioned a night for us to do a KK night in Cairo, and we've gotten some good press because of that. Yeah, definitely. I mean. The good part about being in a collective is that there's six of us and we're all doing things that between us, like, I don't think there's a single one that doesn't like what the other person is doing. So there's a lot of support. And at the end, any break for any one of us is like comes back to the rest, you know. So, yeah. So.
you're in the venue called Akut Mach 9 tonight, and you're going to be giving a gig from 10 o'clock on, but before that there's going to be a panel discussion. Can you maybe explain what kind of topics you're going to be talking about at the panel discussion?
I'm going to be talking about music marketing in Cairo and the development of artists in the sense of learning the skills to produce and so on as part of what we do as a studio, and marketing in general and how to market yourself in a musician as a musician and with the onsite that the Western world has a specific expectation from you and how you can like play around that, because like not everybody does Oriental infused music and so on.
I think the general theme of the talk is obstacles to club culture in Egypt. So yeah, it's divided in three parts. One of it is like the societal and state obstacles. One of them is the market and the obstacles that the artist faces and how we try to tackle that. And the third part is related to like gender and sexuality in the kind of the club scene, like in relation to the status in Egypt today.
Okay, so like you're running a club. Can you maybe tell me what kind of obstacles are you running against?
I mean, from the legal barriers, the syndicates, the permits, the tax people, the police, there's a lot of sexism. I mean, if you've been following the news in Cairo, there's been recent police raids that they just go to parties and just arrest people just for being gay. So it's actually illegal to be gay, just be gay in Egypt. So
okay, but how do they figure out if somebody's gay?
Honestly, there's no real algorithm to that. There's nothing concrete to how. It's the same
like,
in a lot
is
of.
Is it certain clubs they target or?
Well, I really don't know. I have no background or information about that. But I mean, not just from the legal side, but just the cultural and social kind of aspect of it, like having to deal with maybe like the owner of the real estate, like the venue where we're situated, and them being like homophobic and sexist and racist, and having to deal with that struggle of them wanting us to like maybe impose a door policy that was exclusive, although our policy is very inclusive. Like, I think. We're probably one of the few clubs that allows veiled women, which is kind of a thing in Egypt.
Right.
They don't allow veiled women to places that serve alcohol. And we're also the only place that is accommodating for gay people, you know. So there's a social barrier and there's a state and legal barrier, and it's tough at times.
It sounds a little bit more complicated than Berlin. Like in Berlin, it's just
no. It's way more. It's way more complicated. It's way more complicated.
What's the audience like in Cairo clubs? Would it be predominantly male or are women going out as well?
No, they're in the kind of I think this part of the socioeconomic spectrum that maybe we dabble in. It's okay for both males and females to be out in the kind of club setting, but maybe when you go like downwards on that spectrum, you'll find that it becomes less socially acceptable, starting from the household, for the woman to go out and at certain times and to certain places. But I think, I mean, gradually and as of lately, I think we can see that it's becoming less of a barrier, that women are being more present in that kind of scene and over the past couple of years. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you can see a trend there that things are changing.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. It's still hard for me to imagine, but I'd like to maybe touch on a different topic as well, because I've read as well that there is a kind of like a music style that has been evolving over the last couple of years. It's called Electro Chabi. What's that?
This is basically Mahraganat, or like, I don't know if you've heard of Mahraganat either, but it's very similar to trap, I guess, but it's not trap. It is a very organic style that came from specific areas in Cairo. You know it because it's really loud and there's a lot of autotune on the vocals. There's a very famous electroshabi artist known as Slam Shipsy.
I've heard of him.
He's been touring for a while now. And this scene is actually, it's probably one of the most concrete music scenes to emerge in this little period of time.
But I think your question was more, what is electroshabi? Like, what it actually is? I think it's an evolution of Mahraganat, and Mahraganat kind of shares the scales of the more Bedouin Debka. It's a certain type of indigenous Arab scale that has been reproduced in a way.
What kind of music would you consider mainstream at the moment in Egypt? Would it be techno house or?
No, definitely not. Techno and house, it's a very, very, very small niche market. What would be considered
like pop, popular? I guess.
Well, I mean, like the basic kind of Arabic pop, and I think
Mahraganat is actually is
very, very commercially successful. I mean,
it has
they're scoring
following.
Movies now and ads and everything. So yeah, it's seeped. In, I wouldn't say seeped. It's a big part of pop culture right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll probably hear a Mahraganat or an Electro Shabi song every like 10 minutes walking down the street in Cairo in a cab, in a supermarket.
Oh, okay,
supermarket.
So it's all around you. Yeah. It's a bit like Berlin. You have like minimal techno in every shop. So I suppose it's something cultural as well. It just kind of like belongs to Berlin. But you're in Berlin for how long?
We're actually leaving tomorrow morning.
You're leaving tomorrow. So basically you get to see your own gig tonight. Then maybe you can go out afterwards because Berlin never closes.
Well, we're trying to do that. We're trying to bargain with Philip, but he won't allow us because he thinks that we're going to drift off and miss the plane.
That is possible, yeah.
But, I mean, we're adults. We've been on airplanes before. we're trying to convince him. We'll try.
Use that word lightly.
Okay. I know you do have to go to another appointment. I know you have to start the panel discussion in about half an hour. So I will let you go. Thank you very much for coming, for talking to us.
Thank you for having us.